Welcome to The Better Chronicles, a PerkinElmer podcast devoted to the topics that make your world a better place. Through science and innovation, we're committed to transforming risk into safety, mystery into knowledge, and ideas into action for a healthier today and a better tomorrow. PerkinElmer, for the better. Hi, I'm Deb Roby, and thanks so much for joining us for this third edition of The Better Chronicles here at PerkinElmer. We have an extraordinary story to tell you about, one that will surely tug at your heartstrings. It's a remarkable medical science development that has become an important step that everyone should know about when they are having a baby. I'm talking about umbilical cord blood, saving it, storing it, and using it, if needed later in life, to fight a disease for a child or a family member. ViaCord is a PerkinElmer company located in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it does just that. Family cord blood banking saves lives, and that is no exaggeration. To tell us about it, our guest today is going to affirm it. It's Tracy Mercier. She's from Oxford, Massachusetts. Tracy and her husband, Kevin, have two remarkable little boys, Nicholas, the oldest, and his little brother, Braden. When Nicholas was just 2.5 years old, he was diagnosed with leukemia. That's before Braden was even born. Tracy, thanks so much. We appreciate you being here to share your family's story. Can you walk us through what happened in 2005 when you learned of the diagnosis for Nicholas and when his chemo began?
Sure. It was the end of March in 2005, and at the time his leukemia was diagnosed, he was a high-risk ALL leukemia patient, and at that point, the protocol called for him to have about 2.5 years of chemotherapy. No transplant was in the mix for him, unless, of course, he had a relapse at some point later in life. Well, I was pregnant. I actually got pregnant during his chemo course, and my oncologist at the time had said, you know, have you thought about saving the baby's cord blood? And I said, no, I really had it. And he said, well, you know, a bone marrow transplant's not really called for Nicholas, but, you know, if he should have a relapse, that might be something down the road that, you know, might be helpful. So upon his urging, I had checked into a couple of things he had heard through the grapevine about some programs out there for families of children that had a life-threatening illness that might benefit from a cord blood donation. So he actually put me in touch with a company that was then acquired by ViaCord. And ViaCord sent me the packet. And when Braden was born in August of 06, I banked his cord blood, not knowing at that point whether I would need it or not for Nick.
So Tracy, Nicholas finished up his chemotherapy, and then he relapsed when he was 5 years old. And there you had your baby's cord blood saved. The choices really became tough at that point. Tell us what happened.
They did. Well, we weren't sure whether Braden was going to be a match or not. There's only 25% chance per child that you actually have a match. So we had two choices. They told us that if we had a perfect family member match or a sibling match, that that might be a good choice for us to go, or another year and a half of chemo. So we started him on the chemo because that's the protocol, while we waited to find out if we had a match. And during that time, he was, 3 weeks into his chemotherapy, and he had a host of other issues. His appendix had burst, causing a lot of infection through his body, which then caused some more issues through his internal organs. He had a lot of perforations because of the infection that was less. He could not operate at the time because of his immunity level. So at that point, they told us, that transplant was a better option, and we also learned that at that time that Braden's blood work came back from the cord, from ViaCord, and they said that there was a perfect match. So,
wow,
it was a double.
So, Tracy, tell us about that moment. You learned that baby Braden's umbilical cord blood was a perfect match.
It was unbelievable. We were actually in the ICU at that time. Nick was so sick with infection. Every day they come in with more worse news, and when they came in that day, they were smiling and told us that Braden, was a perfect 6-to-6 match, and the transplant was, a viable option for us, and probably a better option now because of all the infection he had of recovery.
And like most parents, I'm sure you were researching day and night, and you discovered the sibling connection at ViaCord. Tell us about that.
That was, yep, again, through it was initially suggested to me through my oncologist, and then I found he had heard of the program, actually. He gave me some information and some literature. So I had gone online and contacted ViaCord, and they sent me out a whole packet of information about their program and how it helped families like mine. With, you know, no cost involved, which was even, you know, a better deal. I probably would have paid for it, but at this point, but to have it, you know, available to me at no cost was unbelievable.
And also to have one son help another son. How do the boys feel about this?
Brayden's a little too little to understand what he did, but he knows he got some boo-boos on his back. But Nick, he realizes in six-year-old terms that, you know, he got Brayden's blood, and several times after transplant, he would ask the nurse whose blood they were drawing, his or Brayden's. So he understands a little bit about what Brayden did for him, and you know, they're going to have connection there forever.
And Nick is almost 7 years old?
He is, yep, he is.
And going to school?
He's getting tutored right now. He's been on a six-month isolation period from the general public, and he'll have 3 more months of that. About 2 weeks ago, he came off his post-transplant medicine and has been able to see his extended family indoors, which has been nice. And so he's got home tutored now through the school year, and then he'll be off to first grade in the fall.
And I'm sure the world will get just bigger and bigger for him, Tracy. That's great. Stay right there, because we'd like to introduce Jim Corbett, who is president of ViaCord, and he is joining us now from his offices in Cambridge. Thanks for taking the time, Jim. You just listened to Tracy's family story, and we'd like you to talk a little bit more about ViaCord. Explain how cord blood is collected.
Sure. Thank you, Tracy, for sharing your story. First off, we typically get in contact with families about 90 days before their due date. They then enroll with our service, and we'll ship a kit to their home, a collection kit, and then we ask them to bring that collection kit to the hospital at the time of delivery. We also inform the OBGYN, who's caring for the mom, that the service will be offered during the time of delivery. At the time of delivery, the physician will go through the normal collection delivery process. They'll clamp the cord, cut the cord, and then tend to the baby to make sure the baby's okay. And then they'll go through a phlebotomy procedure where they'll collect the cord blood in about 3 to 5 minutes in our custom cord blood collection bag. It then is packaged up, handed back to the family, and the family has been instructed to contact us. At that time, we'll dispatch a courier who will go out to the labor and delivery floor, pick up that unit, and bring it to a commercial airline. Then it'll be shipped to our facility just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, where there we'll process the cord blood and store it for the family.
Jim, I understand that storing a newborn's cord blood is safe, and should there be a need, a baby has a source there for stem cells that are an exact match with absolutely no risk of rejection.
That's correct. The match for that that child is a perfect match, but like in Tracy's case, many times the unit is used for a sibling member, and a lot of our transplants are for siblings, just as Tracy has experienced.
And a perfect match is twice as likely from a family cord blood.
Yeah, there's clearly a higher probability of a match within a family. A related source of stem cells is very valuable to the transplant physician, because they all know there's better outcomes when you lose a related source of stem cells.
Now, can you talk about the use of stem cells for tomorrow, including things like tackling diabetes and heart disease and stroke, things that we haven't really quite thought about necessarily as parents of newborns, for example?
Sure, and it is a very wide-ranging and emerging field. There's a great history with bone marrow transplants, which is a source of stem cells, and many of the indications, like leukemia and others, cord blood is successfully used. But there's a great deal of new trials that are undertaking for areas like cerebral palsy and for diabetes. We have 20 ViaCord families that are participating in a clinical trial at Duke University, where they are transfusing the child's own cord blood, an autologous transfusion, back into the child who has been affected with cerebral palsy. And cerebral palsy affects 1 out of 500 babies, so it is early in the study, but it's very exciting potential new use. And similar experiments are ongoing for type 1 diabetes down at the University of Florida, where several ViaCord families are participating in that clinical trial, with the same hope of autologously transfusing the cord blood back into the child for the hope of some impact on the disease.
Jim, how would anyone interested in ViaCord get more information?
Pretty straightforward. We're very readily available on the web. It's probably the easiest way. That's just simply www.viacord.com. We have an 800 number, which is 1-800-ViaCord. And we're pretty present within the professional community, meaning the OBGYN community. We'd love to hear from anybody who has a question.
Thanks so much, Jim, for being here today. And a very special thank you again to Tracy Mercier for sharing her family story about cord blood banking. Our very best to you, Tracy, and your two little boys, Nicholas and Braden.
Thank you.
That is it for now. We will be back again next month with another great story here on The Better Chronicles. Thanks for listening to this edition of The Better Chronicles. PerkinElmer touches the lives of millions of people around the world every day, creating the leading scientific solutions for evolving health, safety, and environmental quality needs. For more information about how PerkinElmer is making a difference for the better, visit PerkinElmer.com.